Hi, everybody. This is Marty Stewart, and you're listening to my friend Lee Williams.
That barstool sign. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, driving through a night as black as coal. Seen a whole lot of highway with a million miles to go. I was born to be a truck driving man, driven but it keeps calling and I keep driving through the wind and the rain and snow. Seen a whole lot of highway with a million miles to go. Hey, I was born to be a truck driving man, driven every
Welcome, Marty Stewart, to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, that's great. Welcome back to the UK. I think the last time I saw you when you were at the Royal Festival Hall.
How long has that been?
You know, I hate to think, but I would say 7 years.
Okay. Did we play London that go round? Do you remember?
You just did that gig. There was somebody else on the bill as well. I know... Chuck from BR549 was there.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was at, was it QE Hall or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth Hall, but they're all part
that's
of
that. That's right.
Yeah, it's all part of the same section.
But yeah. I have to redo all my interviews because I've been lying telling everybody I haven't been That's right.
There you go. Well, welcome back, and it's really good to see you over here for the C2C Festival.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, because I mean, you've been around for a long time in country music and especially the bluegrass side of things.
That was where I started, and I've always, you know, looking back on it, the bluegrass festival craze was going on in the early 1970s when I was really trying to wind up and find something. And I remember going through the bluegrass festival circuit, and Vince Gill was out there. Keith Whitley, Ricky Skaggs, myself. There were a lot of guys that went on to play country music that got their wheels up at the bluegrass circuit because the bluegrass shows were wonderful because they were so accessible. The musicians were very friendly. Everybody shared their knowledge with you and made all of us kids feel welcome. And I've never forgot those days. They're great days to think about. Every now and then, I miss bluegrass and its people, and I go play a bluegrass show. And when I get there, I'm reminded of why I don't do it for a living, because there are authentic guys out there like Dale McCurry and his band and Ricky Skaggs and his band. Man, they're playing bluegrass the way it really is meant to be played. I'm just a casual lover of it and tourist these days, but those are the guys that are really flying the flag for bluegrass.
You've got a new album out called Way Out West. Tell me about it.
I love Way Out West. It's basically a love letter to the American West and so many of the people, places, and things that encouraged me and my band that we grew up, you know, loving. Whether it was, you know, when I was a kid down in Mississippi, which is about 3,500 miles away from the West, I remember the first record I had was a Johnny Cash record, and there was a song on there called Don't Take Your Guns to Town. Oh, man, and it captivated my mind, and it transported me out to the cowboy world of the West. And at that time, there were really cool TV shows on, like Have Gun, Will Travel.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Boone was this Shakespeare-quoting, you know, badass of a cowboy. And, you know, Gunsmoke, all those things. The imagery of the West just was something that I loved. And so when I got to the West, at this very point in my life, I'm still enchanted by that place. So I wanted to go out there and give the listener a cinematic, psychedelic, cosmic, twangified, blue-eyed, blue-sky, palm tree journey through the Mojave Desert. Hi, everybody. This is Marty Stewart, and you're listening to my friend Lee Williams.
So we're going to expect a lot of that on the stage this C2C, are we?
Absolutely. We'll be doing some songs from way out west.
Yeah, and obviously some of your old hits as well.
Sure.
That's great. Now, you were a big, big, big friend of Johnny Cash, weren't you?
Well, he was my old chief. He was my old band leader. He was my father-in-law for 15 minutes. He was he was my next-door neighbor when he died. I loved him, and he was very much a part of my life. You bet. I miss him every day.
I'm sure you do. You still doing your TV program?
No, we did 156 episodes, and it was just time to move on. So the thing that I love about Way Out West is we made a very conscious effort before we ever made the first TV show. What that really was about to me, Lee, was about it was the disappearing culture of 20th century country music, and I wanted to do a television show where we got the right footage and the right sound around so many of those stars from that era one more time. It was an entertaining show, but it was also a cultural document, so I wanted to take care of that. And after we did 156 of those shows, which the mission was accomplished. So we've taken a couple of years to just kind of let the dust settle and come up with something new and fresh, and that's why we did Way Out West, because it is a total different step from the TV show.
You champion traditional country music, and like you've said, the Western style of the music. How do you feel about today's country music? I know we all have to evolve with music.
Well, I think it's apparently country music, in my opinion, has always been a reflection of society, and society. You know, the thing, let me back up a little bit. When I first started traveling as a kid, the thing I loved about, traveling in old America was every town was different. Every town had its own set of characters and stores, and it had its own personality, which I'm sure it still does. But it also has the same stores everywhere I go. It's basically the same place everywhere I go. So what that amounts to is that country music is a bit like that. There's a homogenized quality to it now that I don't get the roots feel and the authenticity that I felt the first time I heard Merle Haggard or Hank Williams that I do when I listen to country radio now. But it's appealing to a whole lot of people. The stadiums are being filled, by different artists. And so it's pretty astounding, the broad acceptance that it's got. However, I think it's the traditional end of country music, the roots end of country music, that appeals to me, and that's kind of where I feel that I fit, so that's where I'm at with it.
Well, that's great. You still do the Opry regularly?
As much as I can. My wife, Connie, does it more than I do, but I think last year we played it 5 or 6 or 7 times, something like that. I still love the Grand Ole Opry, though.
Still a thrill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I know you're busy and you've got other people to talk to. Pick me a song from the album to go out with.
You want something that's rocking, or you want something that's more ballad conscious? You pick that part.
A bit rocking.
Why don't you take a look at a song called Time Don't Wait. Mike Campbell, that plays guitar with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Mike was our producer on this record. We borrowed his 12-string jangling guitar for this particular song, and it's Kenny Vaughan playing it, but it tells it like it is from the Twangified Desert. Here's Time Don't Wait.
Good. Are you on social media and everything so people can follow you?
Yeah, and I wish I could tell you what the address was, but I know that. Do you know?
No, I can send it. I'll send
we'll find it for you, Lee.
That's all right. It's probably MartyStewart.com or something, is it? Something like that for your website?
I'll take your whatever you say.
That's okay. And your band, where'd you get the name for the band?
Well, the Fabulous Superlatives. In Nashville, when we first started our band, everybody, well, what are we going to call ourselves? I don't know. We just started thinking about it. And there's a traditional southern florist in Nashville called Emma's Florist. And they had radio ads that were very famous in Nashville, and it would come on with this lush orchestral music, and this fellow with this old southern brogue would come on and say things like roses, carnations, moons. How about give your mother the most beautiful gift for Mother's Day, Emma's? And his tagline was always Emma's, the superlative florist. And he could say superlative and make it sound like it lasted for 10 hours. And we were laughing about it. I said, well, let's call ourselves the Superlatives. And then somebody says, well, it needs to be even bigger than I said. How about the Fabulous Superlatives? So there you go. We were named after a catchphrase at a florist.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And finally, you still do the jam around the CMA Fest as well, still.
We had opened CMA Fest. I think this is the 15th or 16th one we're about to do. So it's a wonderful show. It's a wonderful show every year.
I've been to it a couple of times, but one was most memorable was when Dolly came on.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Brilliant. Anyway, always good. Marty, great luck for the forthcoming weekend with all the different places you're playing, and look forward to seeing you again in Nashville sometime.
Thank you, Lee. Have a good day.
Thank you, Marty.
Hi, everybody. This is Marty Stewart, and you're listening to my friend Lee Williams.
The big bright moon is shining down on the desert sand. I reached down, touched the earth, and held it in my hand. As the dirt fell through my fingers, the wind, it seemed to say, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Cause time don't matches that lit up the desert sky. A pillar of fire from east to west came slowly drifting by. A voice from the cloud like thunder said, start looking for a ride to where yesterday meets tomorrow, and that'll get you to the other side.